Simon & Schuster Audio presents Milk and Honey. Written and read by Rupi Kaur.
For the arms that hold me. My heart woke me crying last night. How can I help? I begged. My heart said, write the book. The Hurting. How is it so easy for you to be kind to people? He asked. Milk and honey dripped from my lips as I answered, 'cause people have not been kind to me. The first boy that kissed me held my shoulders down like the handlebars of the first bicycle he ever rode. I was 5. He had the smell of starvation on his lips, which he picked up from his father feasting on his mother at 4 a.m. He was the first boy to teach me my body was forgiving to those that wanted, that I should feel anything less than whole. And my God, did I feel as empty as his mother at 4:25 a.m. You have been taught your legs are a pit stop for men that need a place to rest, a vacant body empty enough for guests, but no one ever comes and is willing to stay. It is your blood in my veins. Tell me how I'm supposed to forget. Midweek sessions. The therapist places the doll in front of you. It is the size of girls your uncles like touching. Point to where his hands were. You point to the spot between its legs, the one he fingered out of you like a confession. How are you feeling? You pull the lump in your throat out with your teeth and say, fine, numb, really. Father. He was supposed to be the first male love of your life. You still search for him everywhere. You were so afraid of my voice, I decided to be afraid of it too. She was a rose in the hands of those who had no intention of keeping her. To fathers with daughters. Every time you tell your daughter you yell at her out of love, you teach her to confuse anger with kindness, which seems like a good idea, till she grows up to trust men who hurt her, 'cause they look so much like you. I've had sex, she said, but I don't know what making love feels like. If I knew what safety looked like, I would have spent less time falling into arms that were not. Sex takes the consent of two. If one person is lying there not doing anything, because they are not ready, or not in the mood, or simply don't want to, yet the other is having sex with their body, it's not love, it is rape. The idea that we are so capable of love but still choose to be toxic. There is no bigger illusion in the world than the idea that a woman will bring dishonor into a home if she tries to keep her heart and her body safe. You pinned my legs to the ground with your feet and demanded I stand up. The rape will tear you in half, but it will not end you. You have sadness living in places sadness shouldn't live. A daughter should not have to beg her father for a relationship. Trying to convince myself I am allowed to take up space is like writing with my left hand when I was born to use my right. The idea of shrinking is hereditary. You tell me to quiet down because my opinions make me less beautiful, but I was not made with a fire in my belly so I could be put out. I was not made with a lightness on my tongue so I could be easy to swallow. I was made heavy, half blade and half silk, difficult to forget and not easy for the mind to follow. He guts her with his fingers like he's scraping the inside of a cantaloupe clean. Your mother is in the habit of offering more love than you can carry. Your father is absent. You are a war, the border between two countries, the collateral damage, the paradox that joins the two, but also splits them apart. The art of being empty. Emptying out of my mother's belly was my first act of disappearance. Learning to shrink for a family who likes her daughters invisible was a second. The art of being empty is simple. Believe them when they say you are nothing. Repeat it to yourself like a wish. I am nothing. I am nothing. I am nothing. So often, the only reason you know you're still alive is from the heaving of your chest. Homage to Worsen Shire's inheritance. You look just like your mother. I guess I do carry her tenderness well. You both have the same eyes, 'cause we are both exhausted. And the hands, we share the same wilting fingers. But that rage, your mother doesn't wear that anger. You're right. This rage is the one thing I get from my father. When my mother opens her mouth to have a conversation at dinner, my father shoves the word hush between her lips and tells her to never speak with her mouth full. This is how the women in my family learn to live with their mouths closed. Our knees pried open by cousins and uncles and men. Our bodies touched by all the wrong people, that even in a bed full of safety, we are afraid. Father, you always call to say nothing in particular. You ask what I'm doing or where I am, and when the silence stretches like a lifetime between us, I scramble to find questions to keep the conversation going. What I long to say most is, I understand this world broke you. It has been so hard on your feet. I don't blame you for not knowing how to remain soft with me. Sometimes, I stay up thinking of all the places you are hurting which you'll never care to mention. I come from the same aching blood, from the same bone so desperate for attention I collapse in on myself. I am your daughter, I know the small talk is the only way you know how to tell me you love me, because it is the only way I know how to tell you. You plow into me with two fingers, and I am mostly shocked. It feels like rubber against an open wound. I do not like it. You begin pushing faster and faster, but I feel nothing. You search my face for a reaction, so I begin acting like the naked women in the videos you watch when you think no one's looking. I imitate their moans, hollow and hungry. You ask if it feels good, and I say yes, so quickly it sounds rehearsed, but the acting you do not notice. The thing about having an alcoholic parent is an alcoholic parent does not exist. Simply an alcoholic who could not stay sober long enough to raise their kids. I can't tell if my mother is terrified or in love with my father. It all looks the same. I flinch when you touch me. I fear it is him. The loving. When my mother was pregnant with her second child, I was 4. I pointed at her swollen belly, confused at how my mother had gotten so big in such little time. My father scooped me in his tree trunk arms and said, "The closest thing to God on this earth is a woman's body. It's where life comes from." And to have a grown man tell me something so powerful at such a young age changed me to see the entire universe rested at my mother's feet. I struggle so deeply to understand how someone can pour their entire soul, blood, and energy into someone without wanting anything in return. I will have to wait till I'm a mother. No. It won't be love at first sight when we meet. It'll be love at first remembrance. 'Cause I have seen you in my mother's eyes when she tells me to marry the type of man I'd want to raise my son to be like. Every revolution starts and ends with his lips. "What am I to you?" he asks. I put my hands in his lap and whisper, "You are every hope I've ever had in human form." "My favorite thing about you is your smell. You smell like earth, herbs, gardens, a little more human than the rest of us." I know I should crumble for better reasons, but have you seen that boy? He brings his son to its knees every night. Letter to my future lover. You are the faint line between faith and blindly waiting. The perfect date. Nothing is safer than the sound of you reading out loud to me. How he touches me. He placed his hands on my mind before reaching for my waist, my hips, or my lips. He didn't call me beautiful first. He called me exquisite. I am learning how to love him by loving myself. He says, I am sorry I am not an easy person to want. I look at him surprised. Who said I wanted easy? I don't crave easy. I crave goddamn difficult. The very thought of you has my legs spread apart like an easel with a canvas begging for art. The first time. I am ready for you. I have always been ready for you. I do not want to have you to fill the empty parts of me. I want to be full on my own. I want to be so complete I could light a whole city. And then I want to have you because the two of us combined could set it on fire. Love will come. And when love comes, love will hold you. Love will call your name and you will melt. Sometimes, though, love will hurt you, but love will never mean to. Love will play no games because love knows life has been hard enough already. I'd be lying if I said you make me speechless. The truth is, you make my tongue so weak it forgets what language to speak in. He asks me what I do. I tell him I work for a small company that makes packaging for. He stops me mid-sentence. No, not what you do to pay the bills. What drives you crazy? What keeps you up at night? I tell him I write. He asks me to show him something. I take the tips of my fingers, place them inside his forearm and graze them down his wrist. Goosebumps rise to the surface. I see his mouth clench, muscles tighten. His eyes pour into mine as though I'm the reason for making them blink. I break gaze. Just as he inches towards me, I step back. So that's what you do. You command attention. My cheeks flush as I smile shyly, confessing, I can't help it. You might not have been my first love, but you were the love that made all the other loves irrelevant. You've touched me without even touching me. How do you turn a forest fire like me, so soft I turn into running water? You look like you smell of honey and no pain. Let me have a taste of that. Your name is the strongest positive and negative connotation in any language. It either lights me up or leaves me aching for days. You talk too much, he whispers into my ear. I can think of better ways to use that mouth. It's your voice that undresses me. My name sounds so good, French kissing your tongue. Foreplay. You wrap your fingers around my hair and pull. This is how you make music out of me. You. On days like this, I need you to run your fingers through my hair and speak softly. I want your hands to hold, not my hands. Your lips to kiss, not my lips, but other places. the type of lover I need. I need someone who knows struggle as well as I do. Someone willing to hold my feet in their lap on days it is too difficult to stand. The type of person who gives exactly what I need before I even know I need it. The type of lover who hears me even when I do not speak is the type of understanding I demand. Solo performance. You move my hand between my legs and whisper, "Make those pretty little fingers dance for me." How we make up. We've been arguing more than we ought to, about things neither of us remember or care about, 'cause that's how we avoid the bigger questions. Instead of asking why we don't say "I love you" to one another as often as we used to, we fight about things like who was supposed to get up and turn the lights off first, or who was supposed to pop the frozen pizza in the oven after work, taking hits at the most vulnerable parts of one another. We're like fingers on thorns, honey. We know exactly where it hurts. And everything is on the table tonight. Like that one time you whispered a name I'm pretty sure wasn't mine in your sleep. Or last week when you said you were working late, so I called work but they said you'd already left a couple hours ago. Where were you for those couple hours? I know. Your excuses make all the sense in the world. And I get a little carried away for no good reason and eventually begin crying. But what else do you expect, baby? I love you so much. I'm sorry I thought you were lying. That's when you hold your head with your hands in frustration, half begging me to stop, half tired and sick of it. The toxin in our mouths has burnt holes in our cheeks. We look less alive than we used to, less color in our faces. But don't kid yourself. No matter how bad it gets, we both know you still want to nail me to the ground. Especially when I'm screaming so loud, our fighting wakes the neighbors and they come running to the door to save us. Baby, don't open it. Instead, lie me down, lay me open like a map, and with your finger trace the places you still wanna love out of me. Kiss me like I am the center point of gravity and you are falling into me like my soul is the focal point of yours. And when your mouth is kissing not my mouth but other places, my legs will split apart out of habit. And that's when I pull you in, welcome you home. When the entire street is looking out their windows, wondering what all the commotion is, and the fire trucks come rolling in to save us, but they can't distinguish whether these flames began with our anger or our passion, I will smile, throw my head back, arch my body like a mountain you want to split in half. Baby, lick me. Like your mouth has a gift of reading and I'm your favorite book. Find your favorite page in the soft spot between my legs and read it carefully, fluently, vividly. Don't you dare leave a single word untouched. And I swear my ending will be so good. The last few words will come running to your mouth. And when you're done, take a seat. 'Cause it's my turn to make music with my knees pressed to the ground. Sweet baby, this is how we pull language out of one another with the flick of our tongues. This is how we have the conversation. This is how we make up. The breaking. I always get myself into this mess. I always let him tell me I am beautiful and half believe it. I always jump, thinking he will catch me at the fall. I am hopelessly a lover and a dreamer, and that will be the death of me. When my mother says I deserve better, I snap to your defense out of habit. He still loves me, I shout. She looks at me with defeated eyes, the way a parent looks at their child when they know this is the type of pain even they can't fix, and says, "It means nothing to me if he loves you, if he can't do a single wretched thing about it." You were so distant, I forgot you were there at all. You said, "If it is meant to be, fate will bring us back together." For a second, I wonder if you are really that naive, if you really believe fate works like that, as if it lives in the sky staring down at us, as if it has 5 fingers and spends its time placing us like pieces of chess, as if it is not the choices we make. Who taught you that? Tell me, who convinced you you've been given a heart and a mind that isn't yours to use, that your actions do not define what will become of you? I want to scream and shout, "It's us, you fool. We're the only ones that can bring us back together." But instead, I sit quietly, smiling softly through quivering lips, thinking, isn't it such a tragic thing when you can see it so clearly, but the other person doesn't? Don't mistake salt for sugar. If he wants to be with you, he will. It's that simple. He only whispers, "I love you," as he slips his hands down the waistband of your pants. This is where you must understand the difference between want and need. You may want that boy, but you certainly don't need him. You were temptingly beautiful, but stung when I got close. The woman who comes after me will be a bootleg version of who I am. She will try and write poems for you to erase the ones I've left memorized on your lips, but her lines could never punch you in the stomach the way mine did. She will then try to make love to your body, but she will never lick, caress, or suck like me. She will be a sad replacement of the woman you let slip. Nothing she does will excite you, and this will break her. When she is tired of falling apart for a man that doesn't give back what he takes, she will recognize me in your eyelids, staring at her with pity, and it'll hit her. How can she love a man who is busy loving someone he can never get his hands on again? The next time you have your coffee black, you'll taste the bitter state he left you in. It will make you weep, but you'll never stop drinking. You'd rather have the darkest parts of him than have nothing. More than anything, I want to save you from myself. You have spent enough nights with his manhood curled inside your legs to forget what loneliness feels like. You whisper, "I love you." What you mean is, "I don't want you to leave." That's the thing about love. It marinates your lips till the only word your mouth remembers is his name. It must hurt to know I am your most beautiful regret. I didn't leave because I stopped loving you. I left because the longer I stayed, the less I love myself. You mustn't have to make them want you. They must want you themselves. Did you think I was a city big enough for a weekend getaway? I am the town surrounding it, the one you've never heard of but always pass through. There are no neon lights here, no skyscrapers or statues, but there is thunder. For I make bridges tremble. I am not street meat, I am homemade jam, thick enough to cut, the sweetest thing your lips will touch. I am not police sirens, I am the crackle of a fireplace. I'd burn you, and you still couldn't take your eyes off me, 'cause I'd look so beautiful doing it you'd blush. I am not a hotel room, I am home. I am not the whiskey you want, I am the water you need. Don't come here with expectations and try to make a vacation out of me. The one who arrives after you will remind me love is supposed to be soft. He will taste like the poetry I wish I could write. If you want to know the type of man he is. If he can't help but degrade other women when they're not looking. If toxicity is central to his language. He could hold you in his lap and be soft, honey. That man could feed you sugar and douse you in rose water. But that still could not make him sweet. I am a museum full of art, but you had your eyes shut. You must have known you were wrong when your fingers were dipped inside me, searching for honey that would not come for you. The thing worth holding on to would not have let go. When you are broken and he has left you, do not question whether you were enough. The problem was, you were so enough, he was not able to carry it. Love made the danger in you look like safety. Even when you undress her, you are searching for me. I am sorry I taste so good when the two of you make love. It is still my name that rolls off your tongue accidentally. You treat them like they have a heart like yours, but not everyone can be as soft and as tender. You don't see the person they are, you see the person they have the potential to be. You give and give till they pull everything out of you and leave you empty. I had to leave. I was tired of allowing you to make me feel anything less than whole. Falsehood. You were the most beautiful thing I'd ever felt till now. And I was convinced you'd remain the most beautiful thing I'd ever feel. Do you know how limiting that is? To think at such a ripe young age I'd experience the most exhilarating person I'd ever meet. How I'd spend the rest of my life just settling. To think I'd tasted the rawest form of honey and everything else would be refined and synthetic. That nothing beyond this point would add up. That all the years beyond me could not combine themselves to be sweeter than you. I don't know what living a balanced life feels like. When I am sad, I don't cry, I pour. When I am happy, I don't smile, I glow. When I'm angry, I don't yell, I burn. The good thing about feeling in extremes is when I love, I give them wings. But perhaps it isn't such a good thing, because they always tend to leave, and you should see me when my heart is broken. I don't grieve, I shatter. I came all this way to give you all these things, but you aren't even looking. The abused and the abuser, I have been both. I am undoing you from my skin. It wasn't you I was kissing, don't be mistaken. It was him on my mind, your lips were just convenient. It always comes back to you, boils, circles, itches its way back to you. I was music, but you had your ears cut off. My tongue is sour from the hunger of missing you. The difference. I will not have you build me into your life when what I want is to build a life with you. Rivers fall from my mouth, tears my eyes can't carry. You are snakeskin, and I keep shedding you somehow. My mind is forgetting every exquisite detail of your face. The letting go has become the forgetting, which is the most pleasant and saddest thing to have happened. You were not wrong for leaving. You were wrong for coming back and thinking you could have me when it was convenient and leave when it was not. How can I write if he took my hands with him? Neither of us is happy, but neither of us wants to leave, so we keep breaking one another and calling it love. Us. We began with honesty, let us end in it too. Your voice alone drives me to tears. I don't know why I split myself open for others, knowing sewing myself up hurts this much afterward. People go, but how they left always stays. Love is not cruel. We are cruel. Love is not a game. We have made a game out of love. How can our love die if it's written in these pages? Even after the hurt, the loss, the pain, the breaking, your body is still the only one I want to be undressed under. The night after you left, I woke up so broken, the only place to put the pieces were the bags under my eyes. Stay, I whispered, as you shut the door behind you. I am confident I am over you. So much that some mornings I wake up with a smile on my face and my hands pressed together, thanking the universe for pulling you out of me. Thank God, I cry. Thank God you left. I would not be the empire I am today if you had stayed. But then, there are some nights I imagine what I might do if you showed up. How if you walked into the room this very second, every awful thing you've ever done will be tossed out the closest window and all the love would rise up again. It would pour through my eyes as if it never really left in the first place, as if it's been practicing how to stay silent so long, only so it could be this loud on your arrival. Can someone explain that? How even when the love leaves, it doesn't leave. How even when I am so past you, I am so helplessly brought back to you. Wilting. "He isn't coming back," whispered my head. "He has to," sobbed my heart. "I don't want to be friends. I want all of you. More." I'm losing parts of you like I lose eyelashes, unknowingly and everywhere. When you ask if we can still be friends, "You cannot leave and have me too. I cannot exist in two places at once." I am water, soft enough to offer life, tough enough to drown it away. What I miss most is how you loved me. But what I didn't know was how you loved me had so much to do with the person I was. It was a reflection of everything I gave to you coming back to me. How did I not see that? How did I sit here soaking in the idea that no one else would love me that way? When it was I that taught you. When it was I that showed you how to fill the way I needed to be filled. How cruel I was to myself, giving you credit for my warmth simply because you had felt it, thinking it was you who gave me strength, wit, beauty, simply because you recognized it. As if I was already not these things before I met you. As if I did not remain all these once you left. You leave, but you don't stay gone. Why do you do that? Why do you abandon the thing you want to keep? Why do you linger in a place you do not want to stay? Why do you think it's okay to do both? Go and return all at once. Selfish. I will tell you about selfish people. Even when they know they will hurt you, they walk into your life to taste you because you are the type of being they don't want to miss out on. You are too much shine to not be felt. So when they have gotten a good look at everything you have to offer, when they have taken your skin, your hair, your secrets with them, when they realize how real this is, how much of a storm you are, and it hits them, that is when the cowardice sets in. That is when the person you thought they were is replaced by the sad reality of what they are. That is when they lose every fighting bone in their body and leave after saying, "You will find better than me." You will stand there naked with half of them still hidden somewhere inside you and sob, asking them why they did it, why they forced you to love them when they had no intention of loving you back, and they'll say something along the lines of, "I just had to try. I had to give it a chance. It was you, after all." But that isn't romantic. It isn't sweet. The idea that they were so engulfed by your existence they had to risk breaking it for the sake of knowing they weren't the ones missing out. Your existence meant that little next to their curiosity of you. That is the thing about selfish people. They gamble entire beings, entire souls to please their own. 1 second, they are holding you like the world in their lap, and the next, they have belittled you to a mere picture, a moment, something of the past. 1 second, they swallow you up and whisper they want to spend the rest of their life with you. But the moment they sense fear, they are already halfway out the door without having the nerve to let you go with grace, as if the human heart means that little to them. And after all this, after all the taking, the nerve, isn't it sad and funny how people have more guts these days to undress you with their fingers than they do to pick up the phone and call, apologize for the loss, and this is how you lose her. To-do list after the breakup. 1. Take refuge in your bed. 2. Cry till the tears stop. This will take a few days, or weeks, or perhaps a few months. 3. Don't listen to slow songs. 4. Delete their number from your phone, even though it is memorized on your fingertips. 5. Don't look at old photos. 6. Find the closest ice cream shop and treat yourself to 2 scoops of mint chocolate chip. The mint will calm your heart, and you deserve the chocolate. 7. Buy new bed sheets. 8. Collect all the gifts, t-shirts, and everything with their smell on it and drop it off at a donation center. 9. Plan a trip. 10. Perfect the art of smiling and nodding when someone brings their name up in conversation. 11. Start a new project. 12. Whatever you do, do not call. 13. Do not beg for what does not want to stay. 14. Stop crying at some point. 15. Allow yourself to feel foolish for believing you could have built the rest of your life in someone else's stomach. 16. Breathe. The way they leave tells you everything. The healing. Perhaps I don't deserve nice things because I am paying for sins I don't remember. The thing about writing is, I can't tell if it's healing or destroying me. Do not bother holding on to that thing that does not want you. You cannot make it stay. You must enter a relationship with yourself before anyone else. Accept that you deserve more than painful love. Life is moving. The healthiest thing for your heart is to move with it. Evolving. It is a part of the human experience to feel pain. Do not be afraid. Open yourself to it. Loneliness is a sign you are in desperate need of yourself. You are in the habit of co-depending on people to make up for what you think you lack. Who tricked you into believing another person was meant to complete you when the most they can do is compliment? Do not look for healing at the feet of those who broke you. If you were born with the weakness to fall, you were born with the strength to rise. Seven billion people. Perhaps the saddest of all are those who live waiting for someone they're not sure exists. To the listener, stay strong through your pain. Grow flowers from it. You have helped me grow flowers out of mine. So bloom beautifully, dangerously, loudly. Bloom softly. However you need, just bloom. Balance. I thank the universe for taking everything it has taken and giving to me everything it is giving. It takes grace to remain kind in cruel situations. Fall in love with your solitude. There is a difference between someone telling you they love you and them actually loving you. Sometimes the apology never comes when it is wanted, and when it comes, it is neither wanted nor needed. You are too late. You tell me I am not like most girls and learn to kiss me with your eyes closed. Something about the phrase, something about how I have to be unlike the women I call sisters in order to be wanted, makes me want to spit your tongue out. Like I am supposed to be proud you picked me, as if I should be relieved you think I am better than them. The next time he points out the hair on your legs is growing back, remind that boy your body is not his home. He is a guest. Warn him to never outstep his welcome again. To be soft is to be powerful. You deserve to be completely found in your surroundings. Not lost within them. I know it's hard. Believe me, I know it feels like tomorrow will never come and today will be the most difficult day to get through. But I swear you will get through. The hurt will pass, as it always does if you give it time and let it. So let it go, slowly like a broken promise, let it go. I like the way the stretch marks on my thighs look human and that we're so soft, yet rough and jungle wild when we need to be. I love that about us, how capable we are of feeling, how unafraid we are of breaking, and tend to our wounds with grace. Just being a woman, calling myself a woman, makes me utterly whole and complete. My issue with what they consider beautiful is their concept of beauty centers around excluding people. I find hair beautiful. When a woman wears it like a garden on her skin, that is the definition of beauty. Big, hooked noses pointing upward to the sky like they're rising to the occasion. Skin, the color of earth my ancestors planted crops on. to feed a lineage of women with thighs thick as tree trunks, eyes like almonds deeply hooded with conviction. The rivers of Punjab flow through my bloodstream, so don't tell me my women aren't as beautiful as the ones in your country. Women of color. Our backs tell stories no books have the spine to carry. Accept yourself as you were designed. Your body is a museum of natural disasters. Can you grasp how stunning that is? Losing you was the becoming of myself. Other women's bodies are not our battlegrounds. You belong only to yourself. Removing all the hair off your body is okay if that's what you want to do, just as much as keeping all the hair on your body is okay if that's what you want to do. Apparently, it is ungraceful of me to mention my period in public, 'cause the actual biology of my body is too real. It is okay to sell what's between a woman's legs more than it is okay to mention its inner workings. The recreational use of this body is seen as beautiful, while its nature is seen as ugly. You were a dragon long before he came around and said you could fly. You'll remain a dragon long after he's left. I want to apologize to all the women I've called pretty before I've called them intelligent or brave. I am sorry I made it sound as though something as simple as what you're born with is the most you have to be proud of, when your spirit has crushed mountains. From now on, I will say things like you are resilient or you are extraordinary, not because I don't think you're pretty, but because you are so much more than that. Outlook. I have what I have and I'm happy. I've lost what I've lost and I'm still happy. You look at me and cry. Everything hurts. I hold you and whisper, but everything can heal. If the hurt comes, so will the happiness. Be patient. We are all born so beautiful. The greatest tragedy is being convinced we are not. Gaur, a woman of Sikhi. The name Gaur makes me a free woman. It removes the shackles that try to bind me, uplifts me to remind me I am equal to any man, even though the state of this world screams to me I am not. That I am my own woman, and I belong wholly to myself and the universe. It humbles me, calls out and says, I have a universal duty to share with humanity, to nurture and serve the sisterhood, to raise those that need raising. The name God runs in my blood. It was in me before the word itself existed. It is my identity and my liberation. The world gives you so much pain, and here you are, making gold out of it. There is nothing purer than that. How you love yourself is how you teach others to love you. My heart aches for sisters more than anything, It aches for women helping women, like flowers ache for spring. The goddess between your legs makes mouths water. You are your own soulmate. Some people are so bitter, to them you must be kindest. We all move forward when we recognize how resilient and striking the women around us are. For you to see beauty here does not mean there is beauty in me. It means there is beauty rooted so deep within you, you can't help but see it everywhere. Hair, if it was not supposed to be there, would not be growing on our bodies in the first place. We are at war with what comes most naturally to us. Most importantly, love. Like it's the only thing you know how. At the end of the day, all this means nothing. This poem, where you're sitting, your degree, your job, the money, nothing even matters except love and human connection. Who you loved and how deeply you loved them. How you touched the people around you and how much you gave them. Grounded. I want to remain so rooted to the ground, these tears, these hands, these feet sink in. You have to stop searching for why at some point. You have to leave it alone. If you are not enough for yourself, you will never be enough for someone else. You must want to spend the rest of your life with yourself first. Of course I want to be successful. But I don't crave success for me. I need to be successful to gain enough milk and honey to help those around me succeed. My heartbeat quickens at the thought of birthing poems. Which is why I will never stop opening myself up to conceive them. The lovemaking to the words is so erotic. I am either in love or in lust with the writing or both. What terrifies me most is how we foam at the mouth with envy when others succeed, but sigh in relief when they are failing. Our struggle to celebrate each other is what's proven most difficult in being human. To all you young poets, your art is not about how many people like your work. Your art is about if your heart likes your work, if your soul likes your work. It's about how honest you are with yourself, and you must never trade honesty for relatability. Seva, selfless service. Give to those who have nothing to give to you. You split me open in the most honest way there is to split a soul open and force me to write at a time I was sure I could not write again. Thank you. A love letter from me to you. You have made it to the end, with my heart in your hands. Thank you for arriving here safely, for being tender with the most delicate part of me. Sit down. Breathe. You must be tired. Let me kiss your hands, your eyes. They must be wanting of something sweet. I am sending you all my sugar. I would be nowhere and nothing if it were not for you. You've helped me become the woman I wanted to be, but was too afraid to be. Do you have any idea how much of a miracle you are? How lovely it's been and how lovely it will always be? I am kneeling before you, saying thank you. I am sending my love to your eyes. May they always see goodness in people, and may you always practice kindness. May we see each other as one. May we be nothing short of in love with everything the universe has to offer. And may we always stay grounded, rooted, our feet planted firmly onto the earth.
Milk and Honey was written and read by Rupi Kaur. It was recorded by Ben Spiller at Wanted Sound and Picture in Toronto, Canada. The associate producers were Jennifer Lopes and Ben Rimmelauer. Milk and Honey is a Glynn Corporated production, directed and produced by Erica Glynn. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.